Yeah, well, that table has a reserve table on it, so.
Yeah, well, maybe remove that. All right, everyone. Come on in, take a seat, and we're going to get started. We have a whole table right up here. If people want to come on to the front and make yourselves comfortable. Also, just as a quick announcement, Hillary Gladden, you need to go to the registration desk. Something about your car in valet. So I'm not sure if you're hearing me, Hillary, but if you do, please go to the registration desk. Everyone, we're going to get started now. Well, first and foremost, I want to thank everyone for being here today. You've traveled from all around the state. I just spoke this morning. Someone had come from Chico, Del Norte, Southern California, Inland Empire, Central Valley, our colleagues here in the Bay Area. We even have people who traveled from other states. And we just want to say how much we appreciate it. And we're going to do our best to make this the best use of your time possible, because we know that's nowadays one of the most valuable resources. My name is Amy Lemley, and I'm the Policy Director at the John Burton Foundation. And this year is our largest THP Plus Institute ever. We had originally, as I think the early registrants probably realized, scheduled it just one block away at another facility. And after maxing out on that registration after about 2 weeks, we decided, you know, let's throw everything up in the air and see if we can let more folks in. And I think we all know what one of the main reasons for so much interest behind this is. It's really the passage of AB 12 and how AB 12 will interact with the program we know, love, and operate, which is THP Plus. And so while today is a conference about THP Plus, I'd like to also think about it as almost a day-long celebration for the passage of AB 12. So let's start by doing that. Because, you know, as, you know, social justice people, human service people, like, good things don't happen all the time. And even when they do happen, we rarely slow down to actually be like, wow, something good happened for a change. And we're just as guilty with AB 12. The governor signed it on September 30th, and we thought, oh, we should do something fun. Well, here it is over a month later, and so this is officially the fun thing we're gonna do. So I hope I can deliver on that, but I'm already having fun. And so I just am so, I have so much gratitude for people in this room, and as I look around, I really challenge myself to think of a person or an organization that didn't write a letter, that didn't do a legislative visit, that didn't write an op-ed, that didn't do something on behalf of AB 12. And I really think our THP Plus community really can take a great deal of pride in the role that we collectively played in advocating for passage of this historic legislation. And so I just want to thank you. Every time I asked, and I know I must have annoyed you people, That's Amy Lemley from the John Burton Foundation again. She needs another letter. It's another lobby day. Every time you said yes, you seemingly had a bottomless well of commitment and just dedication for this bill. And frankly, we didn't know how it was going to pan out for our individual programs or our individual counties. But you had faith, and you put in so much time and so much effort. And because you did, tens and thousands of young people are going to live a higher quality of life. And so, just again, I want to thank you on behalf of John Burton, the John Burton Foundation, all the AB 12 co-sponsors, and just take a moment to acknowledge your effort. So it was definitely the advocacy that you did in terms of actual, I'm going to use the L word, lobbying. But really, I think the core of your contribution to this effort was your practice. Because if you look back and you take a time machine back to 1998 or 2002, we didn't have as a state much experience serving 18 to 21 year olds. And the fact that you as county representatives and you as providers went out there, you did THP Plus, you served 18 to 21 year olds, and you did a few things. You showed these young people want support. There used to be a pretty dominant kind of way of thinking that, oh, young people, they don't want anything. They're ready, they're grown, they're out of here. So in your service to young people, you showed young people do want a caring connection with an adult. They do want high quality supportive services. And then the second thing you showed is that those resources can make a difference. And so by the time AB 12 came around, serving 18 to 21 year olds was kind of like, been there. And that is, in my opinion, a critical reason for our collective success as a state. So speaking of time machines, I wanted to kind of start out today by getting in that time machine and going back to where this journey together started. This is kind of where we were in 2006. And I use 2006 as the marker because 2006 was really the first year that THP Plus was even kind of somewhat broadly implemented. Before that, as many, if not most of you know, it was created by the California State Legislature. The first, you know, thing it was victim of is all of its money being taken away by former Governor Gray Davis and the legislature. There was $10 million allocated to it that was kind of put in towards another use. And so it really wasn't funded or implemented in any meaningful way until 2006. So how far have we come? So in 2006, we served a whopping 167 young people in THP Plus. And as of our most recent annual report, which hopefully all of you picked up in the lobby, THP Plus served 2,245 young people over the 12-year period, July 1st to June 30th. So, more than tenfold, almost 20-fold increase in the number of young people served. At the time, we had a $1.3 million investment in the program. We now have a $35.8 million investment in the program. And again, we look back to what we've done together, how we worked together, how we made the case, and that's where we've gotten. Now, we all know that it used to be 40, and then 5 was cut, but we'll focus today on the good news that it's still 35.8. We had 5 counties that were doing very interesting things to implement this program. And those groundbreaking counties really said, you know, there's this crazy county match thing. We'll try and figure that out with our providers. But we now have 50 counties. There are only 8 counties statewide that are not implementing THP Plus. And we're going to do our best to get those counties on board. Because while they tend to be very small rural counties, we want this to be something that's accessible to all young people, regardless of whether they have the good fortune or less fortune of being in a county that does or doesn't implement. We have 3 providers. Now we have 65 providers. And many of these providers operate in more than one county. So these are 65 different providers who have county contracts to execute THP Plus. When we started, we had no tracking system. I mean, between you and me, when we did legislative visits and a legislator would ask about THP Plus, we're pretty much making stuff up. Because we really had no idea how many youth are in the program, what counties are they in, what's their educational status when they enter the program. One quarter later, what's their educational status? Like, we just didn't know. We now have a statewide participant tracking system. Almost every young person in the program, there is an intake completed every quarter. There's a quarterly update. There's an exit form. There's a 6-month follow-up and a 12-month follow-up. For the first time, we have real information about whether this program is making a difference. And I think even more interestingly, where we're making a difference and where we're not. And so as a community, we've matured. It's not just about having a program. We can now take the conversation to the next level and make sure that we're delivering the highest quality program. Again, we had no outcomes. We said, well, how can providing affordable housing and supportive services not make a difference? Well, interestingly, it kind of can if it's not done well. And now we have detailed outcomes out on the table. An excellent, I guess I shouldn't say that since I'm one of the co-authors, but what I consider a very good outcome study of young people in THP Plus that really, again, shows where we're doing well, where we're not doing as well. And I think the one outcome that I just want to touch on briefly, that despite having a rate of unemployment that's high, it's 52%, it's the highest level for 16 to 24-year-olds since the Bureau of Labor Statistics has tracked these figures. Despite that, our young people in THP Plus are making gains in their rate of employment and their monthly income. So if they can do that in this climate, all of you out there are doing something very right. But we do have those outcomes. When we started, it was 100% state general fund. And the way I think about anything that's 100% state general funded in California is kind of like it has a big target on its head. It's very vulnerable to the budget process because it's a dollar for dollar savings to the state general fund. And so while it was a movement forward that we didn't have this big county share of cost, it made the program very vulnerable. And now we have federal funds. The odds of that program getting decimated have decreased dramatically because if you cut it, you're cutting federal funds. It doesn't make it as worthwhile to cut it. And maybe this sounds a very dark way of describing it, but frankly, with a state that had a $19 billion deficit, those are the kind of realities that our legislators have to think about when they're deciding what do we cut, and obviously cutting things that have a state match makes less sense. And so we are now, I think, in my opinion, have a much more robust funding source. And I think the biggest area is essentially THP Plus used to be, there was no guarantee. And I mean, I'm sure you've been in this position, I've been in this position, the program's full. A young person comes to your door, they're a young parent, and you know how much they would benefit from your program, and yet you're out of capacity. And so there was no guarantee for young people 18 to 21. And you know, again, with AB 12, we've actually, and I use the L word and I'm gonna use the E word, we've actually expanded an entitlement, which is very exciting in this climate. You know, that's the difference between an entitlement and an annually appropriated program. An annually appropriated program, when the money runs out, you say to the qualified person, sorry, there's no money left. An entitlement, that person has a legal right to that service. And that is a very different value proposition for the young people. And so we've really changed the landscape a great deal since 2006. Now, that being said, there's a great deal that we have to do. And so I'm gonna touch on what I think are some of our biggest challenges moving forward briefly, and then turn it over to the rest of our morning's presenters. So where we go next? The first thing I really want to highlight is we must work together to restore the $80 million child welfare veto. Interestingly, Governor Schwarzenegger first vetoed $80 million from the child welfare services budget on the day of the THP Plus Institute in 2009. We were all in Southern California, and all of a sudden, all the blackberries came out, and the hum started. And it was just like, $80 million was vetoed from the child welfare services budget. And it's very important for us as, you know, people who work with 18 to 21 year olds to appreciate the impact of that on young people. First, that $80 million gets allocated to a lot of different programs within child welfare services. Remember emancipation stipends? Gone. Kinship support services? Cut. Training and recruitment for foster parents? Cut. But perhaps the biggest thing that has been cut and the most troubling in terms of our work is child welfare workers. The more high quality child welfare support children get while in care, the fewer youth are going to age out of care, and the more able we all are is to support them in that process. And so that was the part of the child welfare system that received the biggest cut. So it's critical that we go back. We tried last year and were unsuccessful. To go back under the new administration that will, you know, be sworn in January and try and get that restored and to see the relationship between young people who are still getting case management services while in child welfare and those who are transitioning out of care. A second major challenge is fulfilling the promise of AB 12. And so, you know, we have our little day of celebration and we're all happy about it. We know what AB 12 could achieve, but the question is, will it achieve it? And so how are we in this room going to work to make sure that AB 12 is all that it could be? And the job of that is not just the legislatures or the Department of Social Services. The job of that is really our job, caregivers, youth, to press and say, this is what was promised, and this is what is actually happening. So I would like to say that, you know, we got the bill passed, and now we just kind of chill out until like the ACLs and the regulations come along. No such luck. We need all of your input, all of your experience in that process. And the John Burton Foundation and many other organizational co-sponsors of AB 12 are going to be working very actively to get that. There are some very discrete parts of AB 12 that pertain to THP Plus, and Michelle Burns is going to speak about those in just a minute. But we really need your input. We need to know how it's going down in the community so that the promise of AB 12 is actually realized. The next thing we have to do is acknowledge that we must continue to still expand THP Plus. Even with 2,245 young people served in the program, it only serves 1 in 5 young people who are in need. And that's using the most conservative estimates of homelessness among former foster youth. So we want THP Plus to be accessible to young people who are in care through the new THP Plus foster care placement. We know that extended foster care now has eligibility criteria. So we want young people who don't meet one of those, if they need to participate in this program, and they want to, we want this program to be there for them. Not interested. I was trying to think about it like a more PC way of writing that. But the bottom line is some young people are just not interested in what we've got to offer. And that's a legitimate point of view. If we're really going to respect the opinions of young adults as young adults, we need to recognize some young people, and particularly, for example, minor moms who might not be as interested in raising their child under the supervision of child welfare, that they are just going to elect to not participate in this, and that's their right. And we don't want to say either go into extended care or go into homelessness. That's your option. We can do a lot better than that. So we must expand THP Plus for that group. And then the 21 plus. Again, nothing magic happens at 18. Nothing magic is going to happen at 21. And so for young people who still need the supportive services, the affordable housing, we want those young people to have access to THP Plus as well. So, you know, that is a major challenge before us and one that we want to work with you all on. Another one, this is kind of amongst friends, you know, we wouldn't kind of make this the focus of our legislative visits, but because we do have outcome information, we know we're not like hitting home runs at every turn. We know 40% of young people are exiting the program involuntarily. That is a big question mark. We have some preliminary findings that suggest why that is. But that is higher than the level we'd like to have. We also know the average young person isn't close to utilizing the full 24 months of the program. again, we have questions about why that is. But now that our community has become kind of more mature, it's not just about existing, but really about thriving, we can now have that conversation and say, where is our practice not as good as we'd like to see it? How can we get it better? And accountability really comes to something we're here popping up around the state. What recourse do young people in THP Plus have when their rights are being violated? Again, these are incidents, they don't happen frequently, and yet we have to have a clear system of accountability. What is the role of the program with the formalized grievance process? What is the role of the county? What is the role of the foster care ombudsman? And these are fair questions to ask, and they're questions that for the vast majority of providers, there are clear answers to. But now it's our opportunity to kind of have the tide rise for all providers in all counties so that we can really have confidence that young people are getting the high quality services that we promise them. Oops. And the last area I'm going to focus on is planning. How can we make it? I mean, how can we be less influenced by our crazy budgeting process? We're all in the middle of it right now. We have a budget, but we have no county allocation. What are counties and providers supposed to do? Well, they do a few different things, and we all know, depending on what county we're in, we all know how it kind of gets patched together. There is no reason we have to go through this boom and bust cycle, where the minute you get your allocation, you ramp up your capacity until the year's over, and then you sit around 6 months and wait for a budget, and then wait for an allocation. That is no sane way to administer a program. And how can we change it? There are ways to change it, and we want to work with you in conversation with counties, in conversation with the state, so we can have a more planful program, and so that we don't have incidences where, frankly, young people have been terminated from the program because of budgeting reasons. That is not a predictable program for communities to count on. So we're really looking forward to working with all of you in these areas. We've been able to accomplish a lot, as we've talked about, and there's a lot more to accomplish. And so now I'm very pleased to talk about to bring up and introduce one of our main partners in the process of doing this work, and that is Nick Honey from the CWDA THP Plus Subcommittee. And Nick has been kind enough. Originally, the Department of Social Services was scheduled to come and speak, and the department's designated person became unavailable, and his backup person became unavailable. And so the CWDA committee met this morning, and at a pretty last minute, I asked Nick to come up and share his point of view on how the committee is going to proceed in the context of AB 12. So please join me in thanking and welcoming Nick Honey.
Good morning. Thank you for that introduction, Amy. So that gives me a good excuse for not having a PowerPoint. So it's impressive, isn't it, when you can see all this information. So welcome, and I just want to add my remarks to Amy's in terms of, on behalf of the other county child welfare directors, we're absolutely delighted that AB 12 has passed. Yay! And just thrilled that we're going to be able to move forward on addressing the needs of this population. Again, my name is Nick Honey. I'm the Director for Child Welfare in Sonoma County, and I co-chair the THP Plus Subcommittee with Teresa Thurmond from CDSS. She's here somewhere. Want to give us a wave, Teresa? We've been working for about a year getting this subcommittee together and positioning ourselves to be able to have a voice at the table around the needs of this population. I'm proud of the services that we provide up and down the state, and particularly I can talk specifically about Sonoma County. We have a relatively small program, 15 beds in THP Plus. And originally, I have to admit that I thought that we would need to have a lot more youth lined up to take advantage of those slots, because I thought there would be high turnover. For Sonoma County, that's not been the case. the services there obviously meet a need. The youth are staying there for 2 years, they're taking full advantage of the program. And it's, as I say, it speaks to how important that service is. I also just wanted to mention, we've been working for the last 2 or 3 years on a program which is originally organized in Napa County, and it's called VOICES, which stands for Voicing Our Independent Choices for Emancipation Support. Napa has developed this groundbreaking program, and we were fortunate enough that they selected us to be the next place they wanted to open that up. And essentially what it is, it's a one-stop resource center for homeless and former foster youth. We have a lot of co-located services provided there. I have two ILP, count them two, ILP social workers, and they're both co-located with the Voices program. There are housing services, mental health services, health. We have computers where youth can come and look up stuff on the internet. Of course, food. We get through a lot of food there. And the most dynamic thing about it is it's run by former foster youth. So they run the program, they staff the program, they found the site. You know, as a director, I wanted to support them in doing that, and I had realtors lined up, and come to find out they'd already contacted all those people. They'd been done some site visits, talked to the potential neighbors of the site. They've done it all themselves. And it's just really incredible to see the commitment and the work that they've put in to making that program a success. They've been open about 18 months now, and they've served over 500 youth in that 18 months. Almost 3,000 different visits for youth coming there. You know, it starts by a barbecue. They come and get a hot dog or whatever, and maybe get a bit more familiar with the program, and then gradually they come again and then realize there may be services to access. And anyway, it's really been a great program for us, and it's run by On the Move, which is a local nonprofit. They back up the former foster youth, but really it's run by the youth themselves. So everyone in this room, I know, recognizes the need for these services. Clearly, there is a need. The youth have told us that there's a need for these services. And I think, to be honest, I think it's our responsibility as child welfare agencies to help these young people out. You know, when they're transitioning from foster care to adulthood, they need our services, they need someone to fall back on. And one of the aspects of AB 12 that I appreciate is there is that opportunity to fall back. You know, they can give us a cheery wave and off they go out into the world if that's what they want to do. But there's an opportunity for youth to come back in if things don't work out so well. I know that I had, as a young person growing up and moving to this country, I had backup. It was my parents. Not everybody has that. And so I think it's important that as a system, as child welfare organizations, we're there to back people up. And I also think another piece of AB 12 that I think is really great is this idea of having a lifelong connection, having a supportive adult that you can contact. It's so important, even if you've not got the opportunity to live with them, or even if they don't have financial resources, just having somebody that you can trust on the other end of the phone. And I think we really need to pay attention to that to make sure that these youth, when they're transitioning, have somebody that they can call. So in terms of our subcommittee, I did just want to tell you a little bit. As I mentioned, Teresa and I co-chair this subcommittee for THP Plus. We meet with county representatives, and our goal is to make sure that the services that we provide are the most effective possible. I look forward to a role on the THP Plus foster care work group so that the county voice can be represented. We really want to make this work, and in these economic times, things can be feel like they're a little bleak. And so the fact that AB 12 has passed and gives us this opportunity to really improve the services, improve the outcomes for youth. It's just a great opportunity, and we want to be part of that. So, that being said, looking forward to today and the workshops. Welcome again, and I'll hand it back to Amy.
Thank you, Nick. Nick and Teresa have done a great job kicking off the committee, and I think we'll see a lot of leadership and guidance around the AB 12 implementation as it pertains to THP Plus from that group. I now want to welcome back Michelle Burns, who is the project manager of the THP Plus statewide implementation project. We're delighted to have her here. She returned recently from leave, and she's going to share some of the more specific aspects of AB 12 and how it relates to THP Plus. So welcome, Michelle.
Hey, good morning, everyone. It's great to see so many people here. It's great to be back from maternity leave. And what a fantastic turnout. This is amazing perspective to see how many people are here. It's great. And as Amy said, with the passage of AB 12, we really have a unique opportunity to really work together to ensure that youth are receiving the support that they need to successfully transition to adulthood. So I want to talk about a couple of things specifically related to AB 12 and THP Plus. And one of the provisions of AB 12 is the development of a new placement option known as THP Plus Foster Care, which some of you, many of you, have heard about. And this option will allow youth to stay in care up until the age of 21 when the bill is fully implemented, and they'll receive the full range of services and support that youth are currently receiving in THP Plus and that has been available to those young people for nearly a decade. And at the same time, the regular THP Plus program will continue to remain a viable option for non-dependents ages 18 to 21, as well as youth ages 21 to 24. So in the coming months, the John Burton Foundation, along with our partners that working with the California Department of Social Services and CWDA and all of the other AB 12 co-sponsors, as well as counties, providers, and young people, we're going to be working on a number of key issues related to the intersection of THP Plus and AB 12. And one of our primary roles is really making sure that all of those perspectives from the THP Plus committee are represented as these policies are formalized and developed. So I'm going to talk about four of these key issues today. The first issue is the development of a new THP Plus foster care rate, which again is included in the AB 12 legislation. And so, as THP Plus has expanded to really become a statewide program, there's been a lot of thinking within the THP Plus community about the benefits of an alternative rate structure to what is currently happening right now. And with AB 12, we're really going to be able to formalize that thinking into a rate for THP Plus foster care. So a work group that's going to be convened by CDSS will be developing that rate, and will also be considering whether that rate should be applied to the standard THP Plus program. And again, input from all of you is going to be very welcome. Second, AB 12 requires that 70% of the THP Plus budget will be going towards THP Plus foster care and 30% towards standard THP Plus, which again, as Amy said, really allows us actually to serve many more young people because we're going to be leveraging those federal funds that are now available. The third element is that there's a change in the county planning process for THP Plus. So moving forward, starting for the county plan submitted in 2011, this plan will now include county plans for both THP Plus and THP Plus foster care. And it's going to include three components. The first is how the county is going to be serving the THP Plus foster care population, in addition to the THP Plus population. Demonstration that they're going to be providing at least 30% of the placements for standard THP Plus, so that we're not forgetting about, again, the non-dependents 18 to 21-year-olds, as well as the 21 to 24-year-olds. And third, counties will be outlining a contingency plan for how to potentially reallocate beds if necessary, if beds in either THP Plus or THP Plus foster care are not filled. And the last element in terms of the AB12 THP Plus crossover requires that there's going to be approval standards developed for young people that are placed into THP Plus foster care. So again, this is going to be part of the work group process that we're going to be actively participating in, and we're going to be working with all of you to really make sure that all of the diverse perspectives within the THP Plus community are represented in the development of this policy. All of these topics are going to be discussed in much greater detail during the workshops today, but I really wanted to just kind of tee up some of the issues so that you have a sense of the many ways in which THP Plus and AB12 intersect. I think throughout all of this process, so many of you, as Amy said, have been so active in getting this bill passed, and now's the time to really dig in and really understand the details of it and make sure that we're all shaping the policy to best serve young people. So with that, I'm going to turn it back over to Amy and say thank you again for all of you for being here, and I look forward to talking to you all later today.
All right, so let's talk about what we have in store for today. You can probably guess by now, if you came here to learn about AB12, you're going to learn about AB12. First is, when you all came in, you should have picked up two different publications. The first is what we're calling our AB12 primer. And what it is it's a document that essentially so many of you put in so much time, basically with not much more than a fact sheet. This was our effort to say, let's bring up the level of detail a little bit higher. What it doesn't include is any interpretation. It is strictly what is in AB12. There are a lot of things AB12 doesn't comment on, and those will have to be figured out in regulation. But what's included in that primer is what it does comment on. And so a great thing to do for you in your counties and your organizations is read that, get familiar with it. We did our best to include legal citations so you can actually reference where in the statute you can find that language. The second publication is about THP Plus and THP Plus foster care. So again, that we went a little bit more out on a limb there. And this was a publication just of the John Burton Foundation, where because of our deeper knowledge of you as providers and counties implementing THP Plus, there's a little bit more gray area covered. For example, there's one question about, you know, how as a county should we begin to think about breaking down our capacity between THP Plus and THP Plus foster care. Obviously, that's not in AB12. But the John Burton Foundation has a point of view on that, and so we've shared that with you. And so, you know, that isn't the official policy of the Department of Social Services. Both of those publications, the first one was done by the AB12 co-sponsors, and the second one by the John Burton Foundation. So get familiar with them, and if you have any questions, we're happy to talk to you about them. Second, we have two in-depth workshops. They're the same workshops, and they're repeated twice. The first one is Workshop A, and the second one is Workshop C. And we also have a really interesting workshop on how to strategically assess the AB12 opportunity. Because it may not make sense for some of your organizations to become THP Plus foster care providers. You need to know what you do well, what you want to do, what the conditions are in your community. And so we really have put together a workshop to help you do that strategic thinking. How does this add to my capacity? How does this help my organization to better serve young people? What doesn't it do? What are the limits to that? And so we want organizations to robustly think through that process, and there's a workshop for that. Our second major area is practice topics. We've got a lot of great practice topics that we're going to be covering today. The issue of involuntary exits. Essentially, we identified the top three organizations that have the lowest level of involuntary exit, and we said, what's your secret? And as Nick said, Sonoma County is one of our providers. These organizations have found ways to retain young people. And as a former practitioner, I know about the honeymoon cycle, where it's just like, this kid's gonna make it all the way, and then something comes up. So these programs have found ways to attach deeply to young people, to give them what they need, to communicate with them, and so we're really excited about that. Families, and when I say families, it's not just parenting youth. What we hear over and over again in my own personal experience, is also the parents of our young people. So if you're a program that's seeing a lot of parents moving in with young people, check out that families workshop, because that's a very real part of the whole family system approach to THP Plus. Transition planning. How do we have young people prepare for the fact that THP Plus is going to be over? And there's some very creative approaches that we're going to be highlighting. Employment, again, 52% rate of unemployment for 16 to 24-year-olds. We need to be rethinking our employment requirements, because if we're not, all we're going to have is a bunch of kids who are kicked out. How are programs doing internship programs, work exposure, supported employment? And so we have a really robust conversation about that. And lastly, under practice is youth engagement. We all want young people to be part of the leadership of THP Plus, and yet it's really more frequently not the case than it is. And so we've got a great panel on how to really meaningfully engage young people so that it's not a token gesture, but integral to the work of your organizations. The last area is evaluation and administration. And we're really excited about these. One is because we have one workshop, and it is, I believe, the second one, where we have representatives from CDSS who are going to be available to answer your questions. They have a set of materials they're going to talk about, but it's a wonderful opportunity to talk to them directly, to build your own relationship with them so that you know them and they know you, because I know we all kind of see their names on documents, but they're here, they want to engage, and they want to hear what you're thinking about. We have two other workshops on the participant tracking system. Now this, we really had to think hard and long about whether to put these on, because we know how's this one going to compete with some of the more interesting ones, right? But I want to really encourage your organizations to send someone to one, if not both, of these workshops. The first one is kind of a 101. If you're not familiar with the participant tracking system, really consider attending this. If you are familiar with it, but you want to learn how to use that system to promote accountability. And a great example of this, I was in a meeting with several representatives from counties, and we were talking about their rate. And they said, well, from what we hear, all the young people in our program are coming straight from residential placement. They're coming from level 14s. I mean, how can we not give them this super high rate? You can look in the participant tracking system and see if that is the case or not. It's a great tool for accountability. As a provider, you can be like, why, you know, we have this high rate of turnover. You can see, is it parents that are turning over? Is it young people who haven't graduated from high school that are turning over? To date, this has been more of a tool where you pay in, but you don't get anything out. But this workshop is really designed to help you understand how to get information out to actually improve your practice and to promote accountability at both the provider level and the county level. And then the last area is around the THP Plus provider plan. It says county plan, but it's supposed to say provider plan. This is something all providers submit to their counties, and really it's the only formal documentation that exists about what you as providers are doing. It's a very important administrative tool, and so we have a very interesting workshop on that, about how you can make your provider plan a meaningful exercise and something that can really foster communication and collaboration within your county. And so we're really looking forward to that one as well. And then over lunch, I'm delighted to say that we're going to be presenting Dr. Mark Courtney with the John Burton Foundation Leadership Award. And following that, we're going to have a panel of young people, and they're going to give us the straight story on what's working in THP Plus, where we can improve, and they're going to share their thoughts about AB 12 implementation. And so that is something we do every year. It's always really a highlight, and we're very excited to feature that again. So now, before I turn over to Hannah, and we're closing in now, so you will be moving into that first workshop, I just want to take a few moments to thank the many, many people who make our annual institute possible, because it is a very much all hands on deck kind of affair. And the first people I want to acknowledge are Amy Freeman from the Walter S. Johnson Foundation. Please stand. And Jeff Kim from the California Wellness Foundation, please. And they have generously supported the work of the John Burton Foundation, the THP Plus statewide implementation project, in a way that is so important, because it gives us the opportunity to do these publications, to do the trainings, to have conferences like this, to give us the capacity to not just sit behind a desk, but actually reach out into the community and work collaboratively. And so thank you both very much. We want to thank our partners in the statewide implementation project, the California Department of Social Services and the Corporation for Supportive Housing. Thank you. I want to thank the people who kind of come up with all the ideas for the workshops and really take the temperature of what the THP Plus community is interested in is our THP Plus Institute Advisory Committee. There's a list of those people in your folder, but I would like all of you who are on the committee to please stand up and let's give them a round of applause. Come on, don't be shy. We also have just a great team of volunteers. Every year we're just like, is anyone going to do it? And every year people are just so willing to give of their time. And so all the volunteers, please stand up and let us give you a round of applause. Thank you. There we go, Ginger. She's our photographer, so you'll be seeing her. The presenters as well, I mean, these are people who make of their time because they want to share this information. It takes a lot of time to get ready, a lot of collaboration. And so thank you to all of our presenters. Thank you to all the staff of the John Burton Foundation who works very hard. We all come together to pull this thing off. And specifically, Hannah Haley, who is our conference organizer. Hannah, would you please raise your hand? And oh, there she is, right there. Thank you, Hannah. You've done a great job. And last but not least is Oakland Marriott. As I said, we contacted them 4 or 6 weeks ago, not very long ago, and they were incredibly flexible and game, and it meant basically we could double the capacity of this year's institute. And so thank you, Oakland Marriott. I'm now going to turn it over to Hannah, who's going to give us some information about how the day is going to proceed, and then when she is done, we'll all break and go on to our first workshop.
Thank you, Amy. So just a few notes on logistics. This is the space that we're in today, and if you're looking for the restrooms, they're to the right of the ballroom. And if you're looking for the other workshop rooms, they're to the left, and you'll notice there's a corridor down here. If you go down the corridor, Jewett C is the third door on the left, and Jewett Extension is the last door at the end. And for A and B, you enter from the foyer, it's the last set of doors on your left. And the main thing, I'd just like to welcome you all and thank you for being here. And at lunch, if you would, lunch starts at 12, there's going to be a buffet set up. And if you would grab your lunch and return here for the lunchtime program. And when you come back in, if you wouldn't mind coming all the way to the front of the room, there's plenty of empty seats up here for all of you standing in the back. And that's all, and thank you. And I hope you all have a great day. Thank you.